rich and full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me?
And we continue to rejoice in the wonderful things he has done for us. Let's turn this morning to the first chapter of John's Gospel. John chapter 1. And we will begin with verse 25. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And on this first Sunday of the month, we would speak on the Lamb of God, as we read in verse 29, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I was rather intrigued with what John says in verse 31, when he said, I knew him not. And we begin to think about that, and what John means is that at one time he did not know him as the Lamb of God. As we search out this chapter, however, John had a number of revelations of Jesus. We see in verse 1 that he knew he was the Word. He knew he was God. In verse 3, he knew him as the Creator. In verse 4, he calls him the Life. In verse 5, he says he is the light. And then in verse 29, we read, Behold the Lamb of God. This was indeed a new revelation for John at that time. If you will back up to verse 26, Jesus said, There standeth one among you whom you know not. They did not know him at that time, but of course, John most emphatically did. And so we read here that he introduces him to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This fact of taking away sin, so to speak, is something that is found very early in the Scripture. We read it right there in the Garden of Eden, as Jesus indeed had said, In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And of course, there was death in the garden that day, but it was not of Adam and Eve. We find that God himself slew the animals, and that atoned for the sin of Adam and Eve and provided coats of skin and covering for them. And so that same wonderful pattern continues as we read of the Passover, and that teaches exactly the same lesson. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And of course, the angel of death spared those that were under the blood at that time. We find it also in the Levitical offerings. So many of them, thousands of them, offered down through the years. And they were for the very purpose of atonement or the covering of sin at that time. covering sin with the blood. We read here in verse 31, "Behold the Lamb of God." I want to notice again about this, that this is God's Lamb. This was God's choice for Jesus to come into the world. He came because, directly because, it was indeed the will of God for him. And then, who taketh away the sin of the world. And this is what I want to establish the difference here, because taking away sin really goes beyond just atonement, as it was down through from the beginning of time, so to speak. Jesus came to take away sin. And as we want to realize here, taking away of sin was both a benefit to God and to man. The sin must be dealt with. Sin must be punished. Sin must be taken away because God's government demanded it. In the very beginning, once again, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. If you read Ezekiel 18, you will read twice, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." God had to carry out the penalty upon sin in order for his righteous government to stand. And so that decree was absolutely satisfied when Jesus took away the sin of this world. God has nothing against man any longer. But then these are some wonderful verses concerning our own deliverance and the benefits for us. We'll not turn to these, but take them down and read them, because they speak of the glorious benefit. They speak peace and victory to our own hearts as to what God has done in our own lives and experience, the benefits that he has given unto us because of redemption. Isaiah 38:17 says it this way, "Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sin behind thy back." And there comes a day in our own lives when we must make these things personal. Yes, God did it for all humanity, but there must come the day when we realize, when we claim these things as our own and know what great benefit and blessing and bounty that God has given unto us. Psalm 103:12 says it this way, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." And then we read in Jeremiah 31:34, "I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more." That's because God's government is satisfied. He holds nothing against us insofar as sin is concerned, once we have accepted his son, his penalty, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 43:25 says, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions." They have been blotted out with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he cannot see them anymore. "It is for mine own sake," again, for God's government, for his benefit. He couldn't pass over even one sin, or his righteous government would have been in jeopardy. "And so it is for mine own sake." And he promises, "I will not remember thy sins." Then Micah 7:19 says it thus, "Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." And it is because of all of this that we read here in verse 29 of our chapter, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The Apostle Paul chimes in on that and adds to it, from Romans 6:6, Paul says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him." Why? "That the body of sin might be destroyed." the Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world. Hebrews 9:26 says it this way, but now once in the end of the world, that means in the end of the age, let us understand that the cross, Calvary, marked the end of the age of law. It ended with the judgment of Jesus bearing our sin there on the cross of Calvary. And so, now once. It was once and for all. It doesn't have to be done again and again and again. I don't care how many sins have been added to it. Jesus dealt with the full body of sin for all time, for all mankind, when he died there on the cross of Calvary. All sin has already been paid for. The only thing lacking is when men don't take it. If they do not receive Christ, they will bear the penalty of sin themselves. But for us who have accepted Christ, every sin we've ever done or ever will do has already been paid for in the debt that Jesus paid there on the cross of Calvary. And so we read that once in the end of this age hath he appeared, and again to put away sin. And it is by the sacrifice of himself. The Lamb of God took away the sin of the world. I would like to say here, there are many in our world that absolutely will not accept the glorious and wonderful truth of eternal life. Once you've accepted Jesus, you are guaranteed heaven. And that's because people don't understand that Jesus took care of the sin question for every man, woman, and child that was ever born or ever will be born. And some like to say that, well, you can just sin all you want to and no problem. No, that is not the truth. Understand this. There are always consequences for sin. But those consequences do not include death and hell. God delivered us from death the day that Jesus died there on the cross, and we accepted him. And so we find here in Hebrews, he takes away sin. We read that the body of sin is destroyed there in Romans. And John tells us, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I want to enlarge a little bit more on verse 31. As I said, this really is an intriguing verse because if you just read it here, I knew him not. We must put that in context once again as the past. Jesus had already said that you don't know him, and I knew him not. But the point is, there came a time prior to this that John did know him as the Lamb of God. And so notice what he says, I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest. There are all of the children of Israel who knew that the Messiah was to come. They would claim him, that they longed for him to come and set up the kingdom. But they did not know that he would come as a man, and they did not know that he would come as one of the Lamb of God, and what that meant and what that would cost. And so we read here, I knew him not that he should, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. And then he adds this little word, therefore. Therefore. It means because Jesus has come as the man. Because Jesus has become, this God has become man. Because he has become God's Lamb. Therefore, because of that, Notice, am I come baptizing with water? It was directly because he was preaching Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God that John began to baptize with water. This is so important because of what baptism represents. Baptism means exactly, it expresses and teaches exactly the same truth as circumcision. Israel boasted and they gloried in circumcision. It had been made a part of the law. But we must understand that circumcision existed over 400 years before the law was even given. I have heard people say, now, I don't believe in tithing because tithing means you're keeping the law. No. Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek over 400 years before the law was even given. And so this truth of circumcision is not tied just to the law. It is often referred to that way, but circumcision began way back with Abraham. Now then, God is introducing something new. He is introducing a new era. And rather than teaching it with circumcision, God gives to John a new revelation. And that revelation that is that now men are to be baptized in water. Baptism in water teaches that we go down into death with the Lord Jesus Christ and we come up in newness of life, in resurrection with Him. This is where God sees it, that we died in Christ at Calvary. And 3 days later, we were raised up again in newness of life with the Lord Jesus Christ. The age of law has come to an end. And one way that God is announcing it once again is by water baptism. And then we come to another revelation that John received in this regard. You will notice in verse 32, John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. We have seen this scene over and over in the Gospels, how that John came to Jesus to be baptized of him. And when he came up, then the dove descended on him, or the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove. Verse 33, and I knew him not. This tells us once again that there came a day for another revelation for John. It happened at the same time that God revealed him as the Lamb of God. But here he says, I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize. Let us understand that baptism was not John's idea. It was God's idea. Because again, he was introducing something new, something they'd never heard of. You will often find this in the scripture, that when God begins to do something new, then new orders begin to happen. And so it was here, and it continued that way right on into the church age. And so we see it here. I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending. That would have been Christ. That would have been the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. This is a reference to the glorious resurrection. It is something that would continue. The Spirit was alive in him forevermore. He would never die again. Remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. John is in reality prophesying the church age. He is introducing the fact that when the age of law is over, the church age, the grace age, will begin. It is because of the resurrection. Once again, going down into death, paid for our sin. But God didn't leave it there. God always adds much more. And so this tells us that Jesus came up out of the waters of sin and death in resurrection and life. And so we read here that this is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. That was fulfilled 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus came the day of Pentecost. And Peter says it this way. In the second chapter of Acts, we read, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear." Because of the resurrection, we have been baptized into one body. They're all a part. Let's understand, they are all a part of the same baptism. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 12:13. "For by one Spirit," the King James Version says "are," but it should be, "by one Spirit were we all baptized." That's because it had already happened on the day of Pentecost. It means that every believer was baptized into one body. By one Spirit were we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and then we've been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, just by point of fact and clarification, every believer has been baptized. It happened on the day of Pentecost, baptized into one body, the body of Christ. He accepts that and takes that place when he accepts Christ as Savior. Down through the years, we have heard people say, "Have you received the baptism?" We know what they mean. They mean, "Have you received the Holy Ghost and spoken in tongues?" But you see, that's not the baptism. The baptism refers to the fact that we have taken our place in Christ. And we are a member of the body of Christ. Now, Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:5, there's one Lord, there's one faith, and there's only one baptism. Well, this has to be it. And so Christ died there on the cross. That paid for our sin. 3 days later, he was raised again. That's the resurrection. 50 days after that, we were baptized into one body. It's all a part of the same baptism. So the day we accept Jesus is the day we accept and acknowledge our baptism into death and resurrection and a part of the body of Christ with him. But I want to notice that Paul went on to explain, we've been baptized into one body. Then he says, we have been all made to drink. The drinking is when we are actually filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. There are many Christians, all Christians, have been baptized into this one body on the day of Pentecost. But it's up to us whether we go to the second blessing, so to speak, and we drink of that wonderful power. And that is when we speak with other tongues, as they did on the day of Pentecost. And so the one baptism, to repeat, we went down into death at Calvary. We were raised 3 days later in resurrection. And then we became a part of the body of Christ, wherein Jesus is the head on the day of Pentecost. And so this verse is simply announcing the beginning of the church age. I want to see one final glimpse of the Lamb before we leave the message this morning. Let's turn to the fifth chapter of Revelation. Revelation 5. John is viewing this scene in heaven as he has been caught up in spirit into heaven. Chapter 5 records the fact that there is a book sealed with seven seals, and everyone wants for it to be opened. And they look through heaven and earth trying to find someone worthy to open the book. And no one can be found. Verse 4. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders came unto me and said, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. But then John got quite a surprise, I am sure. Because in verse 6, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four living ones, and in the midst of the elders, stood not a lion, but a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, and seven eyes, which are the sevenfold Spirit of God, sent forth into all the earth. This tells us, yes, Jesus is going to reign as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But God will never forget, and we must never forget, the one that gave Jesus the authority of a lion came because he's the Lamb which taketh away the sin of the world. And so when John turned to look upon the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he saw the Lamb as it had been slain. And this is Jesus who was slain from the foundation of the world. He has his authority because he went to the cross and he fulfilled all of the will of God. And I want to see that Jesus has this authority because he became a man. We'll not turn there, but you can reference it later. John 5:26 says it this way, As the Father hath life in himself, so he hath given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment, that is the judgment of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. This is why Jesus can judge so righteously. This is why Jesus can make intercession for us. He has been a man. He knows both sides. God's demands and our needs and weaknesses and frailties, He knows all of that because he was here and he experienced himself. We have said over and over, there's not a thing that we can ever go through that Jesus will not and does not understand. And so he has the authority to judge righteously because he is the Son of Man. And so today, he is just about ready to take his place as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, sitting on the very throne of the universal God of heaven and earth. And he has all of that right because he is the Lamb of God who did indeed take away the sin of the world. And so today at our communion service, as we always do, let us remember and honor and glorify and worship. And today, we are remembering him as the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And make it personal, because it was my sin that he took away and made me a part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ.